Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, what in the world has taken place in the Singapore summit on June the 12th between President Donald Trump, our United States president, and Chairman Kim of North Korea? How necessary was the summit to world peace? And will the agreement that was made even come into full fruition? Will it accomplish its intended purpose? And will it last for the years to come? Then what about the Supreme Court's recent 7-2 verdict in favor of Christian baker Jack Phillips' right to refuse to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding? Has that verdict settled anything in the long run, or just basically kicked the can down the road, as it were, to similar issues that may rise up in the future? Well, on today's edition of Stand in the Gap Today, we're going to discuss these two issues with experts on the subject. And having said that, I will say hello. I'm Dr. Gary Dull, and along with me is Dr. David Kistler. Both of us, of course, are with the American Pastors Network, and the expert guests we have are not new to Stand in the Gap. We will have with us our government defense expert, Jim O'Brien, and our constitutional expert, David New. And so wherever you all may be today, we want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. Just a couple of things before we get into the subject at hand. We want to remind you that today is Flag Day, and so I would encourage you to fly your flag somewhere. And if you don't have a pole, just in some way, shape, or form, hang a flag out in front of your house somewhere and let people know that you are a proud American. This is also the 243rd anniversary or birthday of the United States Army, to which we say, congratulations, Army. Thank you for all that you do to make us safe. And then, of course, we are waiting for the IG report on Mrs. Clinton's email situation. The only thing that we have so far is that Mr. Comey did basically violate procedures that should be upheld by the FBI. And, of course, if anything further develops on that throughout the program, we will be delighted to inform you. Well, let's get into the subject today and go to Donald Trump and North Korea. You know, when candidate Donald Trump was running for the presidency of the United States, he indicated that he would be willing to sit down at a summit with North Korea Chairman Kim Un to discuss the matter of the restriction of nuclear weapons on the Korean Peninsula. And some of you may remember how that discussion went. There were many who said that he should not do it. There were others who said that he would not do it. But in the typical style of Donald Trump, he did do it, and now it's past history. Well, we're delighted to have with us Jim O'Brien today to discuss this matter. And Jim, I want to welcome you back to Stand in the Gap Radio, my friend.
It's good to be back with you, Gary and Dave.
And you're the expert inside the Beltway, so that's why we have you with us today. And I want to begin with this particular question, and that is this. As a defense expert with years of experience, did it surprise you that the Singapore summit even came into fruition?
Well, let me just start by saying this. It's great to be back, and I have a question about defense expert. You know, expert is sometimes defined as, X is an unknown quantity, and a drip is a strip, a spurt is a drip under pressure. So that's how you can define expert. But anyway, or somebody who's got his ignorance organized. And anyway, yes, I've been with the Defense Department for over 40 years, and know quite a bit about it. I can't say I'm an expert. But I spent 2 years as a GI, drafted into the Army during early Vietnam, and then some 40-some years working in research and development of weapon systems at Aberdeen and the Pentagon, working under seven different secretaries of defense. You know, you say, does what happened make sense? Am I surprised? I guess where I'm at is it's a personality-driven thing, what happened in this particular thing. You know, each secretary of defense I had had a different personality, whether it was Cheney or whether it was Weinberger or whether it was Rumsfeld. They each had their own style. They each had their own way of going about things. And we have a president who has a very, very different style. If you read his book, Art of the Deal, he's basically putting that book into practice. And so why people are surprised, I don't know, because he's putting into practice basically what he's said for years and written in that book. You know, I look at his personality. He's definitely an ENTJ, for those of you who read Myers-Briggs, a very outgoing, sometimes overly so, willing to face challenges without being timid. You remember the discussions they had a couple of weeks back. You have a nuclear button on your desk. Well, I've got a bigger one, and I'll use it, and it works, you know.
That's so true. But, Jim, my question really is, were you surprised that this even came into fruition? Because many people were.
Well, the reason why, what I'm saying is, I'm not surprised at it, given the president that we have and what he's even written over the past years. It's not a surprise to me that it happened. The surprise to me is how much resistance there is from some in our own nation for what's going on. I think it's a tremendous first start. It's not perfect, but I do believe that it's a major positive first step. We have a long way to go.
Jim, let me jump in and ask you this. For 50 years, other presidents have tried to do the same thing that our president has done with respect to North Korea, and they've done it with no success whatsoever. Here comes Donald Trump, and you are 100% correct. I have read his book, The Art of the Deal, read it years ago. He is implementing his philosophy to a T. You are exactly right. But what I want to ask you is this. What is it about this president? What is it that he did? What is it that he's doing beyond just his personality? And again, you're right on the brick scale. You're exactly right. This is his personality. But what has made him successful in this effort with North Korea when other presidents have been total failures with respect to this?
Well, I think that he's conscious about optics, which some of the other presidents have also been, you know, trying to make it look good on TV and look good to people. But I think Trump is also willing to walk away. He's willing to say, listen, I don't have to have this deal. You know, he's willing to walk away, whereas the other presidents we've had recently, in particular Mr. Obama, was really not willing to walk away. He sort of felt, once I sort of started to look at this car, I've got to buy this car or else I'm going to look like I'm weak. Whereas I think Trump looks just the opposite. He doesn't care if he walks away or not because he's confident in his own skin. You know, the other presidents have attempted to denuclearize North Korea over the years, over the past 50 years, and have had very little success, as you know. But the goal of the Kim regime has been to have a strong nuclear force, and that's been for over three generations. And so now we have a man who is willing to stand up to this man and not be coward. Was the president successful? Yes, he was successful in having a meeting, but there's a long way to go. I'm not saying I'm totally at ease with the agreement so far.
Well, we're just going to have to jump in here. I hear the music playing, which means that we are at the end of this particular segment. But ladies and gentlemen, we are going to continue our discussion with Jim O'Brien concerning what took place over in North Korea. And I think that we may even be going to reveal some information you've heard no other place or in no other news media or in no other outlet. So please stay tuned. We shall return in just four short minutes after this break. We'll be back. We trust that you will be back as well.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. I'm Gary Dahl, and along with me is David Kistler and David New, and we're discussing with Jim O'Brien some of the interesting components of the Singapore summit between President Trump and Chairman Kim. And Jim, again, you are an expert in these areas. And of course, as we understand, you've been to Korea multiple times to teach and even coordinate joint military doctrine. And in light of what took place earlier this week over there, and along with what you have done while you've been over there, what basically was your goal in this teaching and what all did it involve?
Well, Gary, I went over there some years ago to coordinate how we would have execute combat if we had to go to war on the Korean Peninsula in cooperation with the South Koreans. So that's what it was about. I really can't say much more than that. But on the other visits I made over there, two visits, they called and asked if I would come over and teach them how to build more survivable ships. If you remember back around 2010, the North Koreans sunk a South Korean combat ship off the Korean coast in international waters. And the ship, as a result of that attack by a torpedo, broke in half and sunk off the Korean coast with a loss of over 40 crew. And so shortly after this attack, I received a call from a professor at Naval Postgraduate School out in Monterey, California, asking if I would be willing to travel to Korea, to South Korea, to teach them how to build more survivable ships, which I did on two occasions. And they were extremely well-educated people, very highly motivated. I really enjoyed my visit. And one of the surprises over there was they said, would you like to come and see our chapel on the base? I said, sure. I was expecting some cute little bungalow, maybe with a thatched roof, maybe 100 years old. And it was the only chapel on the entire base, over 1,000 people it held, very modern, and it was a Protestant chapel. And I said, well, where are the other ones, the Buddhist? And they said, no, this is the only one we have because Christianity is the most prominent religion in South Korea, which I was amazed to hear.
There's a lot of discussions now and even, I guess, some pressure to normalize relations between North and South Korea, developing even what some would call a united Korea. In your estimation, is that even possible? And if it is, what would that look like?
Dave, good question. You know, there's an old saying, you can tie two foxes together by their tails and you had union, but you certainly don't have unity. And I think that's sort of where I'm thinking when we try to unify North and South Korea. Yes, they speak the same language, you know, and they share some of the same customs over, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. And some people feel it would be relatively simple because they're, of course, they share the same peninsula. But I believe it's going to be a very complex process. The first thing is we have to agree to return the POWs. And that's not just from the Korean War of 65 years ago, but also the bodies of those who have been killed in the sinking of the Chenan and the bodies of those who were attempting to escape and were shot and killed. And there needs to be an accounting of the return of those killed, as well as the release of thousands who are currently being held in various labor camps and prisons across the nation. There's thousands and thousands of people who are locked up or out in these fields doing harsh labor in terrible conditions. In fact, if you go south from Pyongyang, which is the capital, down toward the DMZ, there's hardly any arable land. It's been stripped over the years just due to these people having to farm every piece of land to live. Now, in parallel with this should be the destruction of all of the North's nuclear weapons and warheads. We estimate them between 10 and 20. Which is not very many. But there's a lot more to it than just getting rid of their missiles and warheads. They have a huge number of artillery, about 20,000 artillery pieces that are locked up in the mountains within range of the DMZ and Seoul. And these things called HARTs, they're HARTS, hardened artillery sites. There's MRLs, multiple rocket launchers. There's 122-millimeter artillery, 152-millimeter rockets, and they could be unleashed at any time against Seoul, the capital of South Korea. So these things have to be dealt with so that nobody can cheat, nobody can have a surprise attack. And then one of the big ones nobody's talking about is financially. they're going to have to come up with a common currency which will be accepted by both nations. And of course, the currency in the South is subsidized by the Chinese, and of course, the currency in the South is very strong, so I don't know how they're going to reconcile that unless maybe they come up with a new currency that will sort of be new to each of them, but I'm not sure what's going to happen there. But given China's proximity vis-a-vis the U.S.'s removal from the South, we have to deal with China because China, we worry about the 10 to 20 nuclear warheads that South Korea has, or North Korea has. The Chinese have about 300 nuclear warheads that could come into play if things really get nasty between the North and the South. So there's, you're going to try to get them together to work together, and I hope and pray it happens, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a complex process.
Jim, if I may, the way I look at this from what Russia and China's interests are, I think that, you know, of course, North Korea is heavily dependent upon China. And I know that Kim Jong-un recently hired some professional Russian soldiers of fortune to guard him, so he apparently doesn't feel his own people at times. But I think, looking at this overall, I would think that Russia and China would prefer things to remain the way they are. I think they're excited about North Korea becoming rich, like Donald Trump and all this kind of thing. I don't think they're delighted with the fact that this guy has nuclear weapons, but I think they would rather not have North and South come together. I think they like it just the way it is. Do you agree, or what's your view?
I agree, because what happens if you end up having the North and South together, then what happens is you've got a huge China influence even more, because you don't have the U.S. troops in the South basically as a counterbalance, if you will, to a degree, to the pressure from the North. And what happens if you unify South Korea and North Korea together into Korea, if you will, then you're going to have a power play between Russia and China. And looking at the nuclear situation there, the Russians have more nuclear weapons than we do. The estimate's about 6,800 nuclear weapons to our 6,600 weapons. Well, you compare that to the Chinese of 300, you can see that the Russians are quite powerful. The question is, can they deliver these things reliably? So it's going to be a mess. Either way, it's going to be a mess. So sometimes maybe the status quo is good, but maybe the ideal thing would be to have them both remain North and South, but be more friends, okay, without actually unifying. Maybe that sounds like an untenable situation, but maybe that's good, at least for the time being, until other things settle down.
Mm. I agree with you on that, Jim, and I kind of think it would be difficult to have a complete unification there, and I think it would take them a while to develop a friendship before they would try to unify, but you never know what's going to happen. It's exciting to be able to watch this. And you mentioned this a bit ago, that some of the remains of the Americans who lost their lives in the Korean War may be sent home. I think that that's being worked out even as we speak. And I see that as a great victory. We've not heard too much about it, but we understand that it's taking place. But my question to you is this: do you suspect that there are other things in the treaty that have not yet been revealed to the world and to the American public that we may see coming into fruition in the days and weeks ahead?
I don't know if they're in the treaty now, but they're being worked on, I'm sure. What came out, the language that came out from their meeting is very brief. It was like four different things. And, you know, it's been widely broadcast across the United States and the world. I think you've got to have more meat on the bones, or else it's just sort of theory. You know, it's not really something you can take to the bank. You know, I think the sending remains of our fighting forces home is a wonderful gesture. It's not complete. You know, they also need to return the bodies of others that have been lost that I mentioned earlier. You know, I had the chance this week. I called a gentleman, a good friend of mine, that was on the Pueblo. Lieutenant Commander Stephen Harris, he lives up in Boston with his wife. And I was asking him on the phone today as I was heading back from the Pentagon. I said, you know, Steve, what do you think? What do you think about what's going on in Korea? I said, you spent 11 months in a prison over there getting beaten. In fact, he's written a book called My Anchor Held. You might want to read it. It's tremendous. He said, Jim, what do I think about the what's going on with Korea and our president and Kim and so on? He says, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not sure it's going to result in something good. But he said, I think it's better than what we had as a stalemate. So that's his opinion, and he's been there, done that. So I'm just sharing what his thoughts were, and I tend to agree with him.
Well, you know, I do too, Jim, and it's amazing to me to see how the left and the Democrats are saying that this thing isn't any good, that it's superficial, and Donald Trump didn't do anything positive. It just amazes me how some people react to something good when it's being accomplished.
We don't
have the time to get into that today, but it's just an observation that I make, and we'll just see how it works out as time goes on. Well, Jim O'Brien, thank you very much for being with us today, and we'll look forward to having you back with us sometime in the future. Friends, we're going to take a break, and after we do, we're going to discuss with Attorney David New the recent Supreme Court decision on the Christian Baker's conviction about not creating a cake for a homosexual wedding. You remember that? Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back with that discussion right after this break.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us. And of course, Sam Rohr is not with us today because he's in very, very important meetings in Texas. So we would ask you to be praying for him. But I do want to thank you all for joining us. And I'd like to remind you that you can go to our website, which is standinthegapradio.com. And there you can find this particular program and many others archived if you'd like to listen to them again. You can also listen to the program on your phone by downloading our free app. Just put in the phrase Stand in the Gap, and you can follow that through and listen to us practically anytime that you want at your own convenience. By doing that, we can communicate to you, and you can communicate to us. You will receive alerts concerning what's going to be taking place on the various programs, and so we would encourage you to download that free app. We would also ask you to pray for us as constantly we try to bring information your way that will be beneficial to you from the biblical and the constitutional perspective. But then we would ask you to pray about the possibility of helping us financially. It costs a lot of money to put this program out across the nation in over 400 stations, and so your gifts would be a great help to us. Thank you so very much for being there. And by the way, if you like the program, please tell others about it, because word of mouth is the best public relations we can have. Well, on June the 4th, the United States Supreme Court handed a victory to a Colorado Christian baker, Jack Phillips, who, as you will recall, refused to make a wedding cake for a homosexual couple based upon his Christian biblical convictions. And in doing so, the court stopped short of setting a major precedent allowing people to claim religious exemption from anti-discrimination laws. And yet, Christians all across America rejoiced in what they see as a victory. However, the justices in their 7-2 verdict said that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission showed an, quote, impermissible hostility toward religion, end quote, when it found Jack Phillips violated the state's anti-discrimination law by rebuffing homosexual couple Dave Mullins and Charlie Craig. Well, the court actually concluded that the commission violated Phillips' religious rights under the United States Constitution's First Amendment. And to help us sort this out and to understand it in a more complete matter, we're going to bring David New back into the fold here. And David, help us to understand really what happened in that court decision. You are our constitutional expert. You watched that decision with great intensity. How can you clarify it for us in just a few minutes, please, sir?
Absolutely. It was a fascinating case. It's an extraordinary case. So just before we get to that, however, I want to say one brief thing about the North Korean situation. I know President Trump has come under a lot of attack for stopping the war games. And I wish we had the time, but one of the things I wanted to suggest to our other guest, Jim, what a fascinating individual he was and is what I would have done in that situation. I would have recommended the president say, if you want us to stop our war games, then you got, what, 10 to 20,000 cannons or whatever it is in range of Seoul, South Korea. You remove out of range about 500 or 1,000 of those weapons. And just, you know, just show us that you're willing to defuse the situation. I think that if President Trump had done that, he would have come back as a hero with all these people that are complaining about him. I like what he did. But I think that would have been helpful if he had done that, and just to see if this guy's willing to remove some of those weapons.
Well, it would be interesting to see. But what about this court case, David? What do you think?
This situation is not good news. A lot of people think it's 7-2. This case really means absolutely nothing in many ways. The most important fact that needs to be brought out, this 7-2 vote is very misleading. The media has not brought out the most important fact that should be brought out. And that is, when this event occurred in 2012. This is before the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage was a constitutional right. This is an extremely important fact, and it was pointed out by the court that this event happened in 2012. The Supreme Court did not rule that same-sex marriage was a constitutional right until 2015. What does that mean? It means that this case is never going to happen again. Unless there's something in the pipe right now from before 2015, this fact pattern will not reappear. The next time it happens, same-sex marriage will have been defined as a constitutional right, a very corrupt interpretation without question. But nevertheless, that's the way it has been defined. And so the likelihood of getting a 7-2 vote in a future case with the same fact pattern after 2015 are somewhere between zero and none. It'll be 5-4. And depending on what happens on the court in the next 2 years, it can go either way. We need one more vote.
David, let me jump in and ask you.
Sure.
Yeah, let me jump in and ask you something, because this is a great point you're bringing up. It's something that I've not heard anyone mention.
No, it's not out there at all. You hit it right. And that is the driver. This is the driver. It happened before the Supreme Court made same-sex constitutional.
Let me ask you a couple of questions then, David. What you're saying is this decision by the court, the 7-2 decision with Jack Phillips and the cake situation there in Colorado, was basically a retroactive decision. My question is, when did this case enter the Supreme Court pipeline? Did it enter the pipeline before 2015? Did it enter, or did they agree to hear the case after 2015, before 2015? And how does all that factor in?
I don't know the actual date that they accepted the case. I don't remember it, but it just doesn't really matter, because the key fact here is that this event happened before same-sex marriage became constitutional. Once that, you know what this does is, Kennedy, who is pro-gay all the way, but he also likes religious freedom. So he really has a schizophrenic personality in this area, in a loose sense of the word. He wants to have homosexuals have all the rights everybody else has. At the same time, he wants to protect freedom of religion. And he can't have it both ways. So he's in a real dilemma. This gave him a chance of saying to the Colorado Human Rights Commission, you people are ugly. Let me tell you what this Colorado Civil Rights Commission really is. These people, they do a lot of good, but now they do bad. They are against racial discrimination. Beautiful. I'm for that. That's America. That's the 14th Amendment. They're against sexism. That's beautiful. That's right. That's the 19th Amendment. Protect the woman. Give them same equal rights under the law. But they've added a new target on their list, and it's people like Jack Phillips and Gary Dole, Christians. They don't like Christians. These commissions are basically a way of the government to control people, what they do and what they say, and as much as possible as what they think. That's what they really are. They're a modern form of Inquisition. They're Joseph McCarthy all over again, except on the left.
So, David,
now, these people who are...
Yeah, let me ask you this, David. I'm sorry to interrupt, my friend. I really do apologize, but I want to ask this question because what you're saying is, in many ways, the opposite of what we're hearing and have heard since this decision was rendered at the high court. Some people are trying to read tea leaves and say this may suggest what could happen and what kind of, you know, decision would come down with respect to the flower arranger, the florist, whose case is in the pipeline as well and will be heard the next Supreme Court session. What you're saying, David, if I understand you correctly, is this Jack Phillips case doesn't signal anything. It really is unrelated to what happens.
No, and not only that, but in the decision, they said you cannot deny service on the basis of sexual orientation. They said that point blank. What they don't like is that this commission went out and they said that when this guy, Jack Phillips, walked up there and said Jesus, these people on this commission said, what you're really talking about, the kind of thing you're talking about, the kind of defense you're making about, is a defense that was made to uphold slavery and the Holocaust. They actually talked about the Holocaust. They blamed Jack Phillips' ways of thinking on the Holocaust. That's where it came from. This is the way these people think. Basically, this commission is a state-sponsored hate group.
You know, David,
they do a lot of good. They do a lot of good, but they do a lot of bad things as well.
We are just about finished with this segment. We don't have much time left, but what kind of a warning would you give the American people in light of this court decision?
None. Not in the sense of that it's a good news. It is not good news at all. So this is not a victory. There's a reason why it went 7-2. There's a real good reason, because it means very little. They didn't like what the Colorado Human Rights Commission said. So what is the lesson for the Civil Rights Commission in Colorado and any other state? What's the lesson? When you want to rule against a Christian, don't tell them you don't like them. Tell them you love them. But you can't believe what you believe and deny service.
Yeah, that's a very interesting word from you, David. Noon, we appreciate it very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk further with David New about some constitutional issues that are before us in light of the Singapore summit and the G7 summit up in Canada. Again, I think you'll hear some things that probably you're not hearing in any other media. So stay tuned. We will be back in a very short period of time.
Hello, I'm your host, Sam Rohr. Can I talk with you for just a moment? We love to hear from our listeners, to hear your suggestions and which themes and guests you like the most. Let me share two recent listener comments. A handwritten note from Judy, a $25 a month partner, said this, quote, "Thanks so very much for giving us news that we just can't find anywhere else on radio or TV," end quote. And Bill said this, quote, "Every day at lunchtime, our entire furniture factory shuts down to eat. The highlight of the day for 25 of us is Stand in the Gap Today. Your comments are true and thought-provoking. It challenges us to think clearly about all the nonsense around us. We love the biblical and constitutional perspective. There's just no one else like you," end quote. Now, if Judy and Bill's comments connect with you, would you join with us as they have for just a few dollars a month? It would make all of the difference of us staying on your station. Just go to standinthegapradio.com and set up a monthly gift. And while you're there, sign up for our emails, too.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we're continuing to monitor the IG report on the Hillary Clinton email situation, but nothing yet has come out. And I know that many of you listen to this radio program later on in the day. We do it live at 12 noon Eastern Time. And, of course, if you go to our website, you can actually listen to us live, and I would encourage you to do that. That's at standinthegapradio.com. But throughout the course of the day, I'm sure we'll hear more about this report, and it will be interesting to see what all it says. We do know that they have said that Comey broke FBI procedures, so we'll just have to see how things develop from here. Well, as you know, we have David New with us about every other week, and he's a seasoned and an experienced constitutional attorney, but he's also an author, and he's soon coming out with a brand new book. And Dave, we've got some serious questions to ask you regarding the Constitution in this segment, but just take a minute or two and share with us what your new book is all about, if you don't mind, please.
Sure. By the way, the question that David Kistler asked on the dates of the prior case of the lower court, that was August 13th, 2015. And, of course, the Supreme Court issued their same-sex marriage case on June 26, 2015. So by the time the lower court decision was made against Jack Phillips, same-sex marriage was a constitutional right as of June 26 of that year. But then again, I hear where he's going with that. I would recommend that that is too strong of a factor because the events occurred before same-sex marriage became a constitutional right. So, and by the way, one of my sweethearts on the court, Justice Ginsburg, said, well, even though all these people on the commission said hateful, or, well, she didn't use the word hateful, but even though she said all these things, these people on the commission made disagreeable comments, that really doesn't matter, she said, because the Court of Appeals below heard the case de novo or brand new. So it really didn't matter what the ugly comments were. Now, this is interesting that she would say that, because as you gentlemen know very well, when the Supreme Court wants to rule against the display of the Ten Commandments, what do? They took a look at all the ministers that were there and present and listened to everything they had to say. And if they said the slightest thing about Jesus and the display of that Ten Commandments, what do? It's unconstitutional.
Well, this is interesting.
So she's a hypocrite in this respect.
This is very interesting, but we are rapidly running out of time, so we'll have to talk about your book later on, David New.
Okay.
So I'm going to defer to Dave Kistler. He has a question for you.
Well, David, I want to thank you for going back and figuring that out, because it is interesting to me. I know you know where I'm going. I'm not an attorney. I don't play
sure.
on TV, but I was headed that way before God called me in the ministry. And so you know why I'm asking the question. We're reading off the same sheet of music, so I appreciate you answering that. Let me ask you this. In the first two segments, we talked a lot with Jim O'Brien about issues related to the Singapore summit, and President Trump obviously made some kind of an agreement. It was a very thin agreement, as you so appropriately and articulately pointed out, on denuclearization. Can you talk a little bit about what authority constitutionally President Trump had to even negotiate this kind of deal? And then at what point does the Constitution dictate that Congress enter the picture?
What the president signed was just a piece of paper. What he signed had no legal binding on the United States or North Korea. And from what I understand, the North Koreans have signed these kind of statements before. It means absolutely nothing in terms of the law. The work for the treaty that you're talking about, that's starting now. And that's when we're going to find out whether this individual is sincere. I hope, dear Father, in Jesus' name, I hope I am wrong, but I don't think this guy's going to do it at all. The moment he gives up his nuclear weapons, he becomes another small, third-rate, third-world country. He becomes a nobody, and I don't think he's going to do it.
Well, it's going to be interesting to watch what happens over there. Certainly, I think Donald Trump, even as I understand it, showed him a video on how he could develop the land.
Yeah.
And I thought that was quite interesting. But, you know, we are living in exciting times, and it's interesting to watch what's going on. And so I appreciate your explanation on that. But there was another summit last week, and that, of course, was when Trump traveled up to Canada and had the G7 summit. Now, prior to his visit, as a matter of fact, before he won the presidency, he indicated that he would work on making America first in trade by working toward a fair trade agreement with other nations.
Yes.
And if that could not work, then he would establish certain tariffs. Well, this has people in the Congress upset, and there are people who are saying we need to put the power of trade and tariffs back into the hands of the Congress. How did it happen that the president these days is more involved with trade and tariffs than the Congress, and will they ever get that power back?
Well, they both share power with this type of thing. It's they're both involved because that's foreign policy. When you start talking about tariffs, and, you know, this is one of the reasons people who complain about Abraham Lincoln, this is one of the things they complain about him. They say the reason why he really kept the Union together is that he found out so much of the federal budget was based upon tariffs and those kind of taxes that the United States generated from foreign commerce by entering the country. No, they both have a role in it, and they negotiate, and these are treaties. And, of course, a treaty, according to the Constitution, is the supreme law of the land. I support President Trump, what he's doing. There's going to be a little bit of pain, though, and I hope it's not too painful by November. And I think it's probably going to take a little bit longer than this election cycle. But one thing's for sure, it's not going to help him in November. These farmers so far are very, very understanding, and they support what he's doing. But how long that will stay like that, I don't know.
So you don't think that either one of these summits will be a benefit to President Trump come November, or just the G7?
I agree. Well, the summit in North Korea was good, yes, mm-hmm. because I don't want them, you know, threatening nuclear war with each other. I'd rather have them talking to each other than having soup together. But what I'm saying is on the G7 summit, where he got in trouble with everybody, I think he needs to do that. I think he needs to let these people know that the days of wine and roses are over. Whatever you do to us, we're going to do to you. If you want to trade with us, we want to trade with you. Let's make it fair.
Well, and I'm glad that he's doing that, and I think that many people across this nation are glad for that too. And we need to pray that he's able to work that out. David New, it's been a delight to have you with us today, and you always give us great insight on whatever subject we're talking about. David Kistler, would you close us in prayer, please, my friend?
Be delighted to. Father, thank you so much for giving us the medium of radio to communicate. And Lord, we do want to be very grateful to you for what you're doing in our country right now. We do thank you that we have a president that is attempting to put America at the forefront of his considerations, as any leader should do for the country that he's leading. Continue to give him wisdom. I do pray, Lord, for this North Korea summit and the outgrowth of it, what will happen as a result of what took place earlier this week. Father, would you just give wisdom to all the negotiators, to Mike Pompeo, to John Bolton, to all of the American team. And Father, I pray that any kind of conflict on the Korean Peninsula could be thwarted for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. The Lord willing, we will be back with you again tomorrow. Until then, keep looking up. Stand up for truth. We know the best is yet to come. God bless you all.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.